All right, Monday night on the Fan Pregame. Let's kick this week off right. A 90-minute show for Justin and I. Merrick Monday in a few moments. A couple cup contenders on the network tonight. Jets visiting the Bruins at 7. Chicago visiting Vancouver at 10. We got that on Sportsnet up in a bit there. First overall selection of the inaugural PWHL draft, Taylor Heise of Team Minnesota joins us at 6:30. She's fifth in points so far through five games in Minnesota, top of the charts. They're a team to be reckoned with. And we're going to give some futures for some PWHL picks because I know Justin loves futures. And then we're going to wrap up the show with Smith and Jones from Scotiabank Arena ahead of Raptors and Grizzlies at 7:30 p.m. We have a quick moment possibly to discuss Saturday night. Justin and I got to go to USC 297 and it was unbelievable. Like, I knew that it was going to be crazy. And we were fortunate enough to be in the press seating, which was arm's distance from the cage. Unbelievable. I'm hooked now, and unfortunately, I can't not go in those seats.
Yeah, that's going to be the problem. It might be like a different experience for you, at least next time. But yeah, it was cool. It's completely different down there, as we mentioned. I wasn't sure you'd be like rave reviews you are now, but
I'm
like
obsessed.
I think you're an officially converted fan here.
Big
so
time.
We can't wait to get Aaron Bronstetter back in the studio so we can tee up some fights because clearly we were digesting some of them live. I know you have a favorite too, right?
I have a couple, but I think what I was most impressed about, and we will save some of this for after Jeff too. Most impressed was just being that close. We could really see like the, and Bronny brought this up. Bronstetter brought this up. We call him Bronny off air. So he's going to be Bronny now. He brought this up when we discussed it this week was okay. So yeah, it's physical and it can be like that 2-minute test. If you can stand the gruesomeness, and there was lots of blood at times, but just watching the tactical and in the second decision-making that goes on. Like, I really respected and understood it when you're up that close because it's a different experience when you're watching it through a camera where there's quick cuts. But we could really, like, see into the fighters' eyes and watch their movements and how quick they have to make decisions. It was crazy. Like, honestly, unreal experience.
Yeah, my favorite moment, and I thought I was kind of leading you here, was Siri City was
I
on the undercard.
Siri.
And he got busted up, and he was just like a mask of blood, and I know that's like a little gruesome and it's not for everyone, but to see someone going through obvious pain, discomfort, and adversity, and yet being so determined, like you can
see
his eyes kind of look a little different than a normal person's eyes. Like, his determination was oozing out of him, and to see someone do that and go after it despite dealing with what they were dealing with, I think that's something you can only get from being there, and maybe you'd see that on television as well, but a completely different experience seeing that up close and personal.
And the Canadian women holding down the fort.
It was a tough night for the Canadian
needed
men.
A couple wins from the Canadian women. Just, like, relentless. So tough. So, like, physically fit. Also, this was part of the situation. Justin and I are sitting there, and we ate 2 bags of M&Ms each.
That's
an entire thing of Twizzlers. And we both had a bag of popcorn, and we're watching these specimens, these like incredibly in shape pieces of granite walk out, and we're like stuffing our face with popcorn. And I'm like, maybe I'm going to die tomorrow. But that was, I saw muscle groups from these fighters that I never even knew existed. It was just an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, it was granite. Like, it was a bit difficult eating and watching because they did walk.
They walked right by us.
10 feet in front of us each time. Every single one of them walked by us on their way out.
It was humbling.
And like, yeah, some of them are so happy. Some of them are like so devastated. Some of them are beat up. Some of them are, you know, basically don't have a scratch on them. But one thing they had in common is they're all supremely jacked. Unbelievable condition.
It was. So shout out, thank you to UFC and to Sportsnet for letting us go. First experience. I don't know how I'm going to top it, but I will try anytime. Would love to go. Let's bring in Jeff Merrick, of course, Jeff Merrick Show and 32 Thoughts Podcast. Jeff, welcome back to the East Coast. Glad to have
Hello.
You back on a Monday. How was everything on Hockey Day in Canada?
I love it. I mean, I love Victoria. My sister lives a little bit north on the island in Duncan. Got a chance to go out to dinner with her and her family at the old spaghetti factory. And I was 8 years old again when I walked in. It was awesome. Yeah, I mean, I love the West Coast. It's beautiful. You know, it's funny too. Whenever I come back, maybe you two guys have the same experience. Whenever I come back here, I find myself looking up and saying, where are all the mountains? Where have all the mountains gone? It's, Yeah, it's a beautiful part of our country. And that was the by the way, that was the first time Elliot's ever been to Victoria. Elliot's been all over the country, but that was the first time he'd ever been to Victoria. It's like, it's gorgeous. I love going there in the summers on the island. Been to Tofino a bunch of times. Clackwood Sound hot springs are beautiful, and whale watching. I remember seeing a 60 or 70 foot gray out in one of these little Zodiac boats with tons of puffins around. It was
amazing.
I got nothing but great things to say about Vancouver Island. And yeah, Victoria is fantastic, and yeah, just great times all around.
All right, I'm gonna add it to my bucket list of places to go in Canada. Of course. Okay, so tonight on the network we got a couple of really big games, a couple of cup contenders. We got Jets and Bruins. We'll start with that one because it's possibly a Stanley Cup final preview. It could be two of the best teams in the league going head-to-head.
Yeah.
A must-see for sure, 7 p.m. on Sportsnet. How do you rank these two teams in terms of like readiness for battle right now when you go head-to-head in what's going to be a big one on Monday Night Hockey?
Well, no Mark Scheifele for the Winnipeg Jets, so that stings. He's had a tremendous season. Gabe Vilardi will be a game-time decision for Winnipeg. So they're a little bit dinged here. You know, they're coming off a game against the Ottawa Senators. A game where Ottawa played really well. Winnipeg won the game 2-1, just shading the Senators. And this is one of those games, Ailish, that the goaltenders stole. You know, it's interesting now in hockey. I don't think we're at a place anymore where you can expect goaltenders to steal games anymore. I think the best you can ask a goaltender to do is steal two periods. But just the way that offense is created now in the NHL, stealing a game is next to impossible. But that's what Connor Hellebuck flat out did against the Ottawa Senators. That was grand larceny. And you know, this Boston Bruins team is once again, you know, showing us what A, talent, two, great coaching, and C, a really good locker room can do for a team. You know, I don't know many squads that can withstand losing their top two centers and then come back and still be tops in the division. You know, I look at the Boston Bruins, and you know, it's funny. Someone said to me at the beginning of the year, you know, the Boston Bruins, you know, without Bergeron and Krejci, you know, they could still, you know, be 30 points worse than they were last year, and they'd still be a 100-point team. And I'm like, oh, you know what? That's a really good point here. Great goaltending, great blue line, clutch goal scoring, good checking team. You know, David Pastrnak is elite. Brad Marchand is elite. I look at this one, and I just say, I wish Scheifele were healthy. Fingers crossed for Gabe Vilardi. We'll see Hellebuck in there for Winnipeg. We'll see Jeremy Swayman in there. So there's your goaltending battle. This one looks like a good one. Like, I don't think anyone would have said what you just did, which is possible Stanley Cup preview. But here we are, top team of the Atlantic facing off against a top team in the Central. And the Central is a division that we thought was going to be Colorado, Dallas, and then everybody else. Mm-hmm. Well, right now, Winnipeg is a class of it.
Yeah, you can't ask for a better game tonight, Monday Night Hockey. I do want to ask you, Merrick, about Rick Bowness and what sort of drives his success. Because, you know, since he became a head coach again, 577 win percentage in Dallas, then goes to Winnipeg, 631. That's the best two marks of his career by a long shot. And there was a long stretch of time where he wasn't a head coach in the NHL. Of course, he was working on benches. But, like, what is it about Rick Bowness that makes him, or has made him lately, a successful head coach in the NHL?
How long do you have? I've thought about Rick Bowness a lot, talked to him a number of different times. Elliot and I are actually sitting down with him tomorrow for a 32 Thoughts podcast. I have a lot of time for Rick Bowness. Rick Bowness is, he's like a new school, old school coach, where a lot of times traditionally coaches would choose confrontation. He chooses conversation. Like when he was with Dallas and they go through like a three or four game losing streak. I remember one player telling me, you know, we had a really bad game and we thought Bones was going to come in and kick the garbage can, yell and scream at us. Instead, he came in, he grabbed the garbage can, turned it upside down and sat on it and said, let's talk. I want to hear everybody like full, like no, you know, no judgment here. Just tell me how all of you guys are feeling. And I said, all the frustration just left the room. Now, you're right, for the longest time before Dallas, you know, he was on benches as an assistant handling the blue line. And I think what really works here for Bonus is he understands the value of defending. And I think the three of us talked about this last time, or maybe the time before when we were together, and we talked about the most successful teams in the playoffs every year. And you know, you have a look at the teams that have won the Stanley Cup with Vegas or with Colorado or with Tampa or with St. Louis. Like take your pick. The one common denominator in all of it is all those teams know how to defend. Like it's old school. It's, you know, it's not very sexy to talk about defending in your own zone. We'd rather see, you know, flashy zone entries and teams whipping the puck around and, you know, beautiful Kucherov plays. And boy, do we all have time for what we saw last night with Kucherov and Hedman. But at the end of the day, if you can't defend, hockey's a really, really hard game. And all the good teams know how to defend. And I'll tell you another one. I remember having a conversation with Bonus 3 or 4 years ago. And I asked him, when he was with Tampa, it took a while for Victor Hedman to come around. Like, if you'll recall, like, the first couple of years with Victor Hedman in Tampa, it was like, okay, we can kind of see the promise. He's 6'6". There's a lot of talent in there. I don't know about the comparisons to Lidstrom, but he's going to probably be at least okay when he finally figures it out. And I said, what did you do with Hedman? And he said something really interesting. He said, Victor Hedman is naturally suspicious about everyone and defensive and guarded and skeptical about everybody in hockey. And we all understand that. And he said that the only way I could get through to Hedman is I had to make sure that I talked to him every day, but made sure that none of my conversations were about hockey. Now, we would go for walks and I'd talk to him about everything other than hockey. And I just went about building a trust with him. I knew I wouldn't be able to talk hockey with him until I built his trust. And that's the kind of guy that Rick Bonus is. Like, he invests in the person first and the player second. And of the three of us, Ailish will understand this the best. When you have a coach that invests in you as a human being first and then a player second, how much does that mean to you, Ailish?
Oh, it can be the difference between wanting to play for a coach and maybe, you know, not giving 100% effort. Not for me, obviously, I always give 100% effort, but it makes a big difference, you know? I can see within the team.
It does. And like, look, like, Hedman's going to the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best defensemen of this generation. And a lot of that because, you know, Rick Bonus was able to pick away at that. You know, a lot of cement had hardened already around Victor Hedman by the time he got to the NHL. And very slowly but surely, he sort of chipped away at it. I mean, he understands the value of defense and how everything in hockey, as unsexy as that may be, is predicated on defending. And he also believes in people and invests in people. That's Bones. Like, that's Rick Bonus. That's who he is.
And based on that description, I mean, that Edmund anecdote is perfect because it's a defenseman who he invested a lot of time with and got some pretty serious results from.
Yeah.
Dating back a couple days, I want to rack it back a couple days to Jim Rutherford signing an extension with the Vancouver Canucks. It feels like it wasn't so long ago where Jim Rutherford was the center of every major controversy in Canada when it comes to hockey. So how did we get to the point where Jim Rutherford went from someone who looked like they were floundering a little bit in a new spot, a Hockey Hall of Famer who maybe shouldn't have taken this next job, to someone who has turned a team around here and is invested in further and seems to have kind of won over everyone in that market?
Does it kind of, let me ask you this one. Does it feel a little bit like Ken Holland as well? You know, gets to the Hockey Hall of Fame and then gets the next job and everyone says, oh, man, good thing he got in the Hall of Fame when he did, because if this was on his resume, yeah. Woof.
Yeah.
And now, like, the Oilers are on a 13-game rip. Everyone's playing great. You know, the only question you can ask is, are things great or really great with the Edmonton Oilers? And now they add Corey Perry as well. You know, the one thing that I've always admired about Rutherford, and we saw this, I'll tell you a story. We saw this coming out of the lockout, and that is when you ask Jim Rutherford a question, he will give you an answer. And he won't try to sugarcoat it. I think he's incapable of doing that. And it's gotten him in trouble a lot of times. And we've seen that in Vancouver. We saw that in Pittsburgh. We saw that in a minor key in Carolina, but that's just because it's a quieter market than the other ones. Jim Rutherford, for better or for worse, will always tell you what's on his mind and won't try to cloud it or fudge it. I can recall coming out of the 04-05 lockout, there were two teams in the NHL specifically that when they signed a player and put out the press release, included in the press release how much money that player was earning. And this is still very much of the, you know, our, as per team policy, terms of the deal are not disclosed, right? We all grew very accustomed to seeing that in press releases. Now, Nashville and Carolina didn't. And this is when, you know, the salary cap was, you know, it seems weird to say it now, $39 million. And then at the bottom end was $21 million. But Nashville and Carolina were the first. So David Poile and Jim Rutherford, I asked Rutherford about it, and he said, look, like, we need to be as transparent with our fans as possible. Now we have a salary cap. They need to understand where and why we spend our money, why we're making this team like this. And he said, look, like, the more information we can have out there about our team, the more we're going to create, you know, create flypaper around our fans. They'll stick to us a lot more the more that they know about us. And I think that that's always been one of Jim Rutherford's guiding principles. You ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. And you're not going to like the answer sometimes. Sometimes you'll love it. Sometimes it's great for media, but bad for the dressing room. But I'm going to give you an answer, whether you like it or not. Now, I think where it kind of went south with Rutherford was with Bruce Boudreau, one of the most loved coaches in Vancouver, and it very much turned into a Rutherford versus Boudreau, and the entire Vancouver fan base sided with Gabby. I mean, that's a tough one. Like, if you're in a popularity contest with Bruce Boudreau, I'm sorry, get ready for second place. So I think maybe that's where the sort of popularity waned a little bit for Rutherford, but he's been a very effective manager. He's been the architect of champions, and he's not, another thing we like about Jim is he's not afraid to make a bold move. Like, there's no like, Lady Macbeth, I'm going to go Shakespearean on you. There's no Lady Macbeth up and down the hallway wringing her hands, out damn spot, out damn spot. There's none of that for Jim Rutherford. He makes his mind up, he picks up his phone, and he makes the phone call.
We're chatting with Jeff Merrick, of course, of Jeff Merrick Show and 32 Thoughts Podcast. Those Vancouver Canucks hosting Chicago tonight at 10 p.m. on our Monday night doubleheader. News of the day, Red Hot Oilers team adding Corey Perry officially. You, what did it come down for on in terms of what Corey Perry wanted? Was there a like lineup of suitors? Was this a specific fit because this team is so red hot and have such great offensive talent that it felt like the right fit for him? How did this unfold for you?
One, they're a cup contender. Two, it's not exactly a secret that this is a player that the Oilers have tried to get for a couple of years now. I mean, they didn't really get a shot. You know, last year with Chicago made the deal and signed him July 1, so they didn't really have a chance to do it. But it wasn't as if Corey Perry and his representatives didn't know how interested Edmonton was. And you know, I think a lot of people wondered if Corey Perry would want to go to a quieter market after everything that transpired in Chicago, you know, and the likes of which we still don't have full details on what exactly went down. We thought he might want to go somewhere a little quieter, but I think what motivates Corey Perry still to this day is winning and winning Stanley Cups. And I think that he has a look at the Oilers and says to himself, you know, I was wanted there before. I'm still wanted there now. This is a team that has a legitimate shot to win the Stanley Cup this season and maybe longer. I think that's mainly what motivated Corey Perry here with the Edmonton situation. The other thing, like, sort of, you know, bigger picture for Corey Perry, maybe I'm just being goofy about this because I'm fascinated by it. You guys let me know what you think. I'm always interested in the last player from each draft class, okay? Like, the last player skating. And 2003 is one of the best drafts that we've ever seen. Now, we just mentioned, you know, Patrice Bergeron has retired. Jeff Carter is probably next on that list. So all of the Suter's still playing. Brent Burns is still playing. Corey Perry is still playing. And I can't help but wonder, you know, knowing how much this guy wants to continue playing, as long as someone wants to pay him to be there, he'll show up and play. I wonder if somewhere in the back of Corey Perry's head, he's saying to himself, I want to be the last man standing from maybe the best draft class of all time.
That's interesting, yeah. Last man standing, maybe another cup ring to add, because the Edmonton Oilers, of course, are unbelievably hot. So from the news of the day to the news of the weekend, which was Patrick Waugh being hired by the New York Islanders. Got to be kind of quick on this one, Merrick, but okay. I do want to circle in on the Lou Lamoriello aspect of this. Like, did it have to be Lou? Because we know that Patrick Waugh is someone who likes to you know, lean in on decision making. And with Lou Lamoriello, I mean, if anyone's going to be confident in the fact that, hey, this is my ship, it's Lou.
That's a really good question. First of all, I think what, like, it was trending towards Patrick Roy eventually somewhere. Like, there is, I've been told that one day I will be told the story. There's something with St. Louis. I don't know what it is. I've been told that I'll know one day, but there was something there. There have been other teams, like, look, like our colleague Nick Kiprios, like when he was part of a bid for the Ottawa Senators, we know that Patrick Roy was high on that group's list. Were they going to give it to him? They're certainly going to have the interview. We would have seen where that would have gone. But like, eventually Patrick, we suspect, was going to get back in. But what I think this does is, and I'm glad you mentioned the Lou factor here, Justin, you know, it's Lou Lamoriello. You know, it's one thing for a rookie general manager. Like, it'd be one thing for, you know, Kevin Adams to fire Don Granato in Buffalo and bring in Patrick Roy. Here we go. Let's bang some glass and, you know, throw some sticks on the ice and really get things going in Buffalo. This is Lou Lamoriello. Like, if you want the sort of credibility magic wand waved over your head, I think your point's a great one, Justin. I really do. I think this is, you know, now Lou Lamoriello saying, you know, this is Patrick Roy. He's our coach, and we have faith that everything that went on in Colorado and how horribly it ended, that is not how we're choosing to define Patrick Roy. And how crazy is it going to be Thursday in Montreal when the Islanders face off against his former team?
Must-see TV. I had that one written down as my out to throw out Jeff Merrick on our conversation. So you did it for me, Jeff.
You can just say, like, drop all the pretentious Shakespeare analogies.
Lady Macbeth. All right, Jeff, appreciate you joining us. I'm glad you had a great trip out west, and I'm adding it to my list, so we'll get there one day.
Lady Macbeth is one of my favorite characters. Come on, you blame me, Ailish? Come on.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. You last time we talked about, like, digging graves and death, and so today we got Lady Macbeth.
Another tragedy. I think it's a tragedy.
Yes.
A laugh for you. Yes, it was. One of the high tragedies, along with King Lear and Romeo and Juliet. And, oh, yeah, those are all the games. We can do cemetery stories anytime. I know I got to go, but you just name it, Ailish. I'm good to go.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Have a great week.
Thank you, guys.
Jeff Merrick of the Jeff Merrick Show and 32 Thoughts, the podcast. Of course, Winnipeg and Boston tonight, 7 p.m., and Chicago and Vancouver, 10 p.m. Three teams out of four really have an opportunity to be there at the final, at the Stanley Cup final on the main stage. Can't wait to see that one. Obviously, Maple Leafs are going to play Winnipeg twice in the next couple days. A home and home would be a good test because that team has been absolutely red hot.
Yeah, three division leaders on Monday Night Hockey. I mean, that's awesome. The only thing that would make it better, I guess, is a little bit of a Connor Bedard to, you know, at least be a foil to one of those teams leading a division. But yeah, this is an awesome doubleheader tonight. A couple must-watch games. Do you want to circle back to our UFC 297 experience before we go to the break?
Yeah, I gushed about it being my first experience. What did you take away from it?
I think what I'm going to remember the most is the devastation of the Mike Millot loss.
Goodness.
Because Canadian men 0-6 to that point. And again, shout out to the women who were unbelievable, the Canadian women earlier in the card. But like we talked about how Canadiana might be like sprinkled through this. When someone gets on the mic, they can kind of speak from the heart and their experience of, you know, fighting at home and what that might mean. And maybe that was the pop the event needed. And we thought, okay, maybe it's not this like massive, devastating win for Millot, but at least he's going to get this win and it's going to be great on the mic afterwards. And then with like 45 seconds left, he completely runs out of gas.
It's actually devastating.
And gets pounded out. And then the air is just let out of the arena. It was a tough watch. And then he just kind of like, we saw this, he just kind of laid there for like,
I know, I was
five
like,
minutes.
Justin, is he okay?
And we're like, what's going on? Like, we got to get him out. I think he just like honestly went out through exhaustion primarily. But
tough.
That's disappointing because this was supposed to be the best prospect Canada had and like couldn't get through 15 minutes with a gatekeeper. And it's like, oh, that's kind of a tough night.
Yeah, that was the low, maybe the low of the night. But I thought the walkout, like the moments where they got their moment with walking out, the walkout music, the crowd was electric. I know
he nailed everything until that last 45
Ron
seconds.
Ron Sutter told us it's like a rock concert and also like a sporting event. And that was exactly it. Saw our buddy Bruce Buffer, who remembered us from interviewing him. He's like, how's it going?
We got to ask him about the warm-up routine next time. He's doing, like, calisthenics.
Yeah, it was awesome. I hope everybody gets an opportunity to go. So great that we got a chance. We're spoiled. Taylor Heisey is going to join us after the break. First overall pick of the inaugural PWHL draft. That's all next on the Fan Pregame.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan Pregame, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We're about six games through for each team in the PWHL. We got the standings for you. Minnesota at the top with 12 points, followed by Montreal, New York, Ottawa, Boston, and Toronto. They're working through it. Minnesota's come out to a red hot start. Of course, they got the first overall draft pick this year in the inaugural PWHL draft, and they drafted our next guest, Taylor Heisey. And for those that don't know, Taylor Heisey is probably the next big thing in terms of United States talent, right out of University of Minnesota, directly into the PWHL as the first overall pick to Minnesota, her home state, her home team. It's pretty much like, I don't know, you couldn't have wrote a better script. So it's been a pretty great start for her. Of course, she's top five in points already. Going to be at the NHL All-Star Weekend here in Toronto in about a week and a half here at this point.
Yep.
So lots of exciting opportunities to see some PWHL action. But yeah, Taylor Heisey, top five in points to start. We do have some futures to look at too. Do you want me to sprinkle those in now?
Sure.
So
if you like, we're going to do some best bets, after we talked to Taylor, but okay. you can sprinkle.
Well, I'm just saying,
right,
they're Minnesota. Right, I'll just give a tease. Minnesota, sure. Obviously in top place here. They're plus 380 for the whatever cup. We don't know what it is yet. I think it's going to be a surprise. But they're plus 380, so the shortest odds, but not too far. Boston, New York, Montreal, Toronto, all in there. We'll give you those after. But plus 380 for the team currently leading the league is, you know, a safer bet.
Still a time to get in on it. Yeah, you mentioned that she's kind of she's the future of women's hockey in some ways, maybe the future of the U.S. program. Mm-hmm. But I think you can speak to, from experience here, just how fortunate she is to be able to go immediately to this league, right? Mm-hmm. She's just wrapping up her collegiate career, and she's got a place to play. And that's like, what percentage of players in the league right now kind of had that similar experience? So I'm sure she's very, very appreciative of that and understands sort of why that's such an advantageous position to be in. But it's the reality, right? Because a lot of players, we had Renata Fast on last week, and what, 10 years, maybe not less than 10 years removed from her college playing experience, but had to wait like a half decade at least in order to get to the point where you're playing professional hockey. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome that she gets that opportunity and that everybody else behind her is going to get that opportunity.
Well, let's chat with Taylor Heisey of PWHL Minnesota, first overall pick this year in the inaugural PWHL draft. Taylor, thanks so much for jumping on the show. Great to see you.
Great to see you too. Thank you for having me.
So we're doing some research on your illustrious career so far, and it's like, born in Minnesota, played for University of Minnesota, first overall pick to Minnesota, leading team Minnesota. I'm like, okay, wait, this girl was made to play for Minnesota. For you, it seems like a storybook start to your professional career. I guess for your entire hockey career, being so close to the state, that means a lot to you. You get to be the first overall draft to Minnesota and get to be the face of that franchise. Just like, how special and how, I guess, rare of a storyline are you getting to live right now?
Yeah. I say every day I'm living the dream. Anytime anyone asks me, that's my answer. Cause I am, I think, you know, I would have been really grateful to be anywhere else. This league is amazing. Really so much more than we could ask for right now. The support of everyone that's, you know, been out to games and, or even just supporting online, watching on YouTube. It's been awesome. But, you know, my story is a special one, and I'm just trying to continue that and continue to make sure that every young girl knows that it's not a specific story that gets you there. It's the hard work behind the scenes.
So it's Minnesota through and through, as Ailish outlines. What does it mean to be Minnesota through and through? Like, aside from hockey,
rugged,
just being a
gritty
Minnesotan, what does that mean to you if someone asked you?
That's a very interesting question. I think, like, everyone thinks of Minnesota as Minnesota nice and, you know, everything like that. But I truly think, like, Minnesota's a great place to be. Going back to the hockey realm of it, like, we have some of the best fans. And when I would describe a fan that I enjoy to be around is someone who understands hockey and not just says, get the puck on net, shoot it, screaming in the stands. So Minnesota has a lot of really amazing fans. And then obviously being here with my family, Minnesota is, you know, the place that I grew up. It's not everything that I know. I've obviously been other places, but obviously this is a place that I hold near and dear to my heart, and I'm going to probably live here the rest of my life. So it's been fun.
That's so sweet. The 13,000 plus people came out for your home opener. You guys beat Montreal 3-0 at the XL Energy Center. So that one will go down in history, really, as the biggest one to start. What was that day like for you? You mentioned state of hockey, the crazy fans, but you got to live something that many people will never get a chance to do.
Yeah, I'm very grateful. You know, I think we didn't want to come into the season with too many expectations. Mm-hmm. We really just wanted to play hockey. And, you know, to have that kind of kick it off for us, it was a really unreal feeling. I had a lot of people that said they were coming to the game, but you never know, circumstances change and some people, you know, can't make it, but I think everyone made it that day. So for me, it was really special to see everyone and not just win the game, but to after the game. I think I was upstairs talking to girls and kids and stuff for maybe an hour and a half after the game. So it was a very special moment for me. And, you know, to have those 13,000 fans, our team was kind of looking all day and kind of saying like, oh, they opened up another section, or, oh my goodness, there's this one's gone. So it was awesome.
Did you have to buy a ton of tickets?
Oh gosh, my mom is on everything. Like, I call her my manager. Like, does everything at 110%. So she had already jumped on that prior. So we already had that all squared away.
I hope she gets a cut. I mean, I'm Ailish's manager in some ways. I don't get anything out of it. So
we'll, you get to, you know, host the show and talk to cool people with me.
I get a pastry every now and then. Okay, I'm sure there was a pinch me moment or multiple pinch me moments during that game that Ailish mentioned, the opener. But have you had an on-ice pinch-me moment? Because you're kind of thrust into this from the collegiate ranks, and all of a sudden you're playing with everyone that's, you know, just been a couple steps ahead of you just in terms of age. Like, mm-hmm. when you're on the ice with legends of this game currently in this league, have you had to, like, stop and be like, wow, at any point during the early days of this league?
You know, I'm very blessed to, you know, have been a part of USA Hockey and to play in the World Championships, both at the U18 level and the Senior Women's National Team level. And I think I had a lot of moments in those games already when I've been there in the past, like playing with Hillary Knight, Kendall Coyne, and then playing against Marie-Philippe Len and like people like that who have not only been the ambassadors of the game, but also women who just do the game mm-hmm. and play the game so well. But for me, I would say more so of that shock factor comes when, you know, I look in the stands and I see all those amazing signs and I see all those little girls who are at the rink an hour before the game, already knocking on the glass, trying to get your attention. Like, that would have been me. So, like, I just always think about those moments. And, you know, sometimes I have those, oh my gosh, moments when some of my teammates pull things out of their hat that I've never seen before. But obviously we practice together every day, so it's been awesome to see everyone's growth and then other teams' growth as well. I love looking on social media and everything like that to see, you know, how much support and followers and that every team has gained, because at the end of the day, we're one league that is united and we want everyone to succeed.
Yeah, I get those moments like when I go to the PWHL Toronto games here and I see the signs of the little girls in their jerseys. They don't have PWHL jerseys yet that they've even worn, but they're wearing their club jerseys. They've got signs that say like future PWHL draft pick, and it hits home, right? Like, I'm not playing anymore, but I get the struggle, of course, to get to this point. So it's been really sweet to see. And sometimes on the subway too, they have like their PWHL hats. I'm like, oh my God, you've been to a game. It's really sweet. I was explaining to Justin before we brought you on, just about like the adjustments from college to professional hockey. You didn't have a gap year in between. You were fortunate enough to go right into it. I personally see that as a maybe even like a step above some people that had to have a bit of a transitional period where they were looking to build this game. And obviously you were building it at the college level, but have you felt like that's been a nice seamless transition for you to be playing at the highest level at University of Minnesota? And then boom, you're already back in the grind right away with not a lot of downtime.
100%. I thanked my parents for birthing me in the right year.
Yeah, they nailed it. They nailed it.
That was the thing, you know, obviously they didn't
another
know
shout out to mom.
She's amazing.
Shout out to mom and dad. They're awesome. And I think, you know, the transition is all of what you make it. You know, sometimes new things and new experiences can cause that seamless transition to take a few bumpy routes. But I think for me, you know, I knew that this league was going to be something special, and it was going to be something that, you know, I wanted to take full stride and do everything I can to be my best and to prove to the world, you know, we have some amazing hockey players who are playing, like, see us and you know, pay attention and see that we can play the game at an amazing level. I think it's awesome now that we're having so much more, not even like availability on social media, but on the TV. I think it was awesome to see, I think our game versus, might have been the home game, there's like 120,000 people watching on YouTube, plus the people that were in the stands. So it's, you know, the transition has been awesome for me in the sense of all the young girls who I've met playing at the Gophers or, you know, have, you know, made an impact in their lives, even in the slightest. I have now been able to see after games and to see them and to, and even them DMing me or emailing me and doing all the things that, you know, wasn't possible when I was a kid. I always, you know, make sure that I'm able to reach out and make sure that I can make their day in any way possible.
So the first ever first overall pick, is there any pressure that comes with that? Any burden that comes with that? Or is it just all good?
I have an amazing support system behind me. Yeah, like I've talked about, my parents can't say enough. I have two brothers that play college basketball who have supported me since day one. I think brother and sisterly love comes and looks different in different situations. But, you know, they're always reaching out to me and, you know, congratulating me, and I'm doing the exact same thing back. So you also look at, I have amazing coaching staff who knows that, you know, I'm 23. It's hard to sometimes be someone to be looked at every single game, every single practice. But I think for me, that pressure is a privilege, and I take that very seriously. But I also know that sometimes you got to let go of the seriousness and have a lot of fun. I have great teammates, like I said, great coaching staff who sometimes recognizes when I'm a little frustrated or, you know, I'm having a bad day. It's okay to have those days and just, you know, you need to take advantage of them, see them, realize what you need to do to flip them around, and then, you know, go from there. But it's been awesome to be someone who, you know, has that pressure, because like I said, it's a privilege. And if you take advantage of it, you're able to ride that high for a really long time.
Pressure makes diamonds. That's what they say. And you guys are top of the standings. PWHL Minnesota, of course, starting out strong. Your team is mostly American. You got four Canadians, and I've played with all four of them. So I'm like, girls, how's it going? Because is there like some camaraderie? Because I remember, you know, obviously at university, mostly it's Americans and Canadians. And sometimes you, like, you know, you show each other up. You have like the Canada-USA games at university. But have you been able to have a little bit of a rivalry between the girls yet on Team Minnesota?
I would definitely say that we, as Minnesotans, wanted to be, you know, we have a lot of us, and sometimes it can be a little daunting to come into a group that has played either with or against each other our whole lives. But for us, I knew we wanted to come in and make sure that that transition was seamless for everyone. I have learned so much from not only the Canadians. We have a girl from the Czech. We have a girl from Finland. Like, we have them all. And I think that that's something that not every team can say. But we take full advantage of it. They bring so much to the table. We've been learning about cultures. We've been learning about their hometowns. We've been learning about a bunch of things. But I would say rivalry just comes with competition and practice. I don't think it has anything to do for us with U.S. Canada. But I would definitely say that a lot of our competition, a lot of our rivalries do come from the Canadian teams, solely based on the fact that we're mostly American. And I think that that just comes with the game. So I think for us, it's awesome. And it's super fun to, you know, take on the best of the best every week. But obviously, if you're a player, you have some people that you obviously want to give a little hit here, a little slash there too. But it's all fun. And at the end of the day, you obviously want to win a hockey game, but you want to make sure everyone's having fun while you do it as well.
I was going to think of you guys all watching like the World Juniors and having some competitions between, you know, who's going to take home goal. Yeah. Okay. It did happen. I missed that. That was fun. We were 50-50 split at university. Like, it was always straight down the middle, Americans and Canadians. You know, we had a lot of fun.
Four Canadians outnumbered on Team Minnesota. I'm not going to suggest that's the key to a hot start, but you guys have had a hot start. I guess 12 points from your first five games. You mentioned the competition in practice. That might be part of it. But what do you consider the keys to your guys' just great start?
You know, I think there's three different keys. Obviously, we have forwards who, you know, have played at the top and highest level. And then you also have forwards who work super hard. You go back and you look at our defense, super solid. We do everything we can as forwards to help them out and make their job easier, but they also make our job easier. We always talk about defense can play a good gap if forwards are back checking. And defense feel comfortable doing what they do if we are doing our jobs at the forward side. And then you look back at our goaltending and it is rock solid. So I think all up and down the lineup, we not only have girls who, you know, can compete and play at the highest level and do consistently every day, but we also have a backstop in the back that if when we do make those mistakes, that they're there to back us up. And they know that we love them. And I think in practice it, you know, brings that intensity level because, you know, you might beat a defender, but then you get to your goaltender and you're like, oh, Nick, why? Or like Maddie, why? All of our goaltenders are just like rock solid every day and they show up ready to roll. And they also know that, you know, sometimes whenever people paint them as that scapegoat, say something goes in overtime, like we don't consider that at all. I think it's really awesome to know that everyone knows their role. And I think sometimes in college that can get tossed to the side. And I think now in professional hockey, it is what it is. There's trades, there's, you know, reserve players. There's all these things you have to take that into consideration. But I think when you have a good team off the ice, it's awesome. And we laugh every single day. I haven't laughed this much in a really long time. And it's awesome to see no matter if we win, we lose, we tie. As long as we put that effort out there and we know that we're, you know, working towards a bigger goal at the end of the year, it's, you know, it's some, you can't ask for more than that.
Yeah, the way your roster was constructed, the draft, like it felt very balanced, obviously high-powered offense, but very structurally sound. And, of course, getting a new coach last minute, still being able to rally kind of through all the bumps and bruises on the way. No wonder you guys are top of the standing so far. I want to ask you about the NHL All-Star because you're going to be up here in Toronto in about a week and a half. I believe that I will be interviewing you on the benches. So I'll, you know, this is a test run and you're passing. So we'll make sure we make that happen. But you'll be up here on NHL All-Star for an opportunity to do the PWHL showcase. Now, this is also a new thing because it's not really an All-Star. It's a showcase opportunity, right? It's for the best of the best in the league. So your excitement level to be here for that weekend, to see the sights of Toronto, not Minnesota.
I would say, you know, it's an absolute honor. It's something that when I got the email about it, I was like jumping around. I called my mom. I called my dad. Like I feel like it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. Hopefully it continues, you know, but obviously you don't know what the future holds. So for us, I know me and a lot of my friends that are going are just super honored. And it's a chance to not only put ourselves out there as female hockey players, but also to meet a lot of really cool people. Mm-hmm. Like I think sometimes you can take hockey really seriously, but at the end of the day, you get to be on a team with different players. You get to go out there and play the game that you love in front of a lot of fans and to meet the fans and, you know, maybe meet some NHL stars and people like that. So I'm really excited. I've been to Toronto. Like I went to Toronto like 5 times this summer for different things. my agency. So I've been there a lot, but I really do enjoy the city. It's awesome. I always call it like a mini New York City. It's kind of like daunting a little bit.
We'll take that.
We'll take that.
I come from a small town, but I would definitely say I'm very excited. But this is an opportunity to showcase talent, but also to, you know, gain a lot of knowledge and to just, like I said, have a lot of fun and enjoy your time when we're there.
I know you're not talking about getting ahead of yourself, but 2026 is around the corner. Italy around the corner. The chance to play for your country around the corner. I know you've done that before, but at the very highest level, when you think about that, what comes to mind?
Yeah, like you said, obviously I take it one day at a time, but that's been in the back of my mind since, you know, the last Olympics. I wasn't able to go. So I think for me, it's an awesome opportunity. And I try to take that. If I wake up one day and I'm like, I'm not feeling it today, in the back of my brain, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, well, if you don't do it today, when are you going to do it? And to think that there's that I wouldn't say it's looming. I think that it's, you know, on the horizons. For me, I would definitely say that I'm very, very excited to be a part of this league, not only because it's going to create international competition more than we've ever had, but also it's going to bring opportunity to a lot of people that haven't had it before. So for me to know that, you know, the last time that I didn't make that Olympic roster, honestly, my career since then has been the best it's ever been. So for me, I'm always thankful for specific parts of my game that I have, you know, been attested to that struggle that I had. I think this next one around the corner is really exciting, but I obviously like, that's why I work out as hard as I can every single day, because you have those things that are super, super fun in the future. But if you don't work hard for them now, you're going to get there and be upset with the fact that you didn't do it.
Yeah, that's the perfect mindset to have. You got lots of exciting things on the horizon. You got a game tomorrow, 2 days from now against Montreal, who's right behind you in the standings. That's going to be a big one. We have that one on Sportsnet as well, so we'll be able to watch you. And then we'll see you in a week and a bit here in Toronto. So enjoy the next week and best of luck, and we'll chat soon. Thanks, Taylor.
Thanks so much.
Taylor Heise of PWHL Minnesota, first overall pick this year at the inaugural PWHL draft, is currently top 6 in points with 5 points so far on the season. Minnesota at the top of the standings. I mean, she's got the right head on her shoulder. Clearly has been in this system of hard work paying off, right? She's played at the United States level, U18 World Championships, and she's only 23, as she mentioned. With a number one overall pick for a reason. But, you know, when you talk to athletes, like, you just get it, right? She gets it. You know, obviously looking at 2026 on the horizon, feel pretty confident that she should be at least competing for a roster spot. But the way that she started the season, Taylor Heise is like a name to remember for folks that are just getting into PWHL action. She's coming right out of university. She won the Patty Kazmaier Award, which is for the best player in NCAA hockey. So she's got lots already on her resume, but definitely lots more to come.
She has a chance to have an unbelievable hockey career. Not to say that, you know, a lot of current players in the PWHL don't. But she's going to have all this runway, only 23, only starting her international career really in earnest, only starting her professional career, but getting to do it right away. She's got so much runway left. So she's going to be one of the faces of this game for a while. Awesome to chat with her.
Yeah, that Minnesota team, full of Americans. And
the problem with doing these interviews, like, I kind of want to cheer for Minnesota. I'm just looking like,
know,
my allegiance is going to change
She's got the Minnesota accent. I could hear it, too. I want to give you a couple of PWHL futures as well, because we were talking about this earlier. Yeah, Minnesota clearly on top of the standings right now with 12 points. But right behind them is Montreal. Of course, you all know that I'm a Montreal stan. They got 10 points, but they are red hot right now. Back-to-back weeks, Marie-Philippe Poulin, the first star of the entire league. And they're almost dead last in terms of odds to win this unnamed cup, plus 470. My future bet is Montreal to take home the inaugural cup, X cup, which is called the P-Dub cup. There you go, folks. Like, second in the league, Marie-Philippe Lenz is on a tear, and they're not, the Bucks aren't respecting it. So get it while it's hot.
She is on a tear. She is on a tear. And I was going to tell you, but now I'm thinking, I might be a Minnesota guy now.
That's good for you.
I don't know. We'll see.
I want everyone to win and have fun.
There's still time, but eventually the odds are going to have to reflect the standings and how we feel about these teams. I think we're due for another A-list where you rank, you power rank the PWHL teams.
No problem. This week I'll do it for sure.
Maybe we'll get a little bit more information that way, but all these teams are still bunched up, so still an opportunity if you feel like one of them can separate itself from the others. We should do some football lines because we've got championship weekend in the NFL here after divisional weekend was a blast.
I don't want to talk about it.
You're a Bills fan, and it was pretty devastating. Mike Mallott level devastation in many ways. But yeah, in the AFC Championship game, the Ravens, 3.5-point favorites over the Kansas City Chiefs, and the 49ers are 7-point favorites over the Detroit Lions. my one takeaway from the weekend is that the AFC is going to win the Super Bowl. It's either the Chiefs or Ravens for me. Brock Purdy, I know there was weather. I know he was dealing with the elements. I know it's a controlled setting at the Super Bowl, but I don't feel like he can win. I just, like, are you going to feel comfortable Purdy versus Mahomes?
No.
Are you going to feel comfortable Purdy versus that Ravens defense?
Definitely not.
So I was looking at, okay, should I just bet AFC minus 120 to win right now? Probably not, because I think if the 49ers get there, they're going to be favorites.
Yeah, they will.
And you can just play a plus money line in the Super Bowl regardless. So I'm going to be waiting. But I do think I'll be betting an AFC team when we get there. I will say, though, Lamar Jackson MVP plus 240. If you like Baltimore, I would just play that because that's a good number. And I think there's more speculation over, or at least it's open to who could win from the Chiefs, because they're a team that's dominating with defense and running. Patrick Mahomes had like 200 yards in that game. I think a variety of guys could win, even though it seems like it should be Mahomes. But if the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl, Lamar Jackson's winning MVP. So if you like the Ravens, plus 240 is the pick.
I would like to pledge my allegiance to the Detroit Lions. I'm over the Buffalo Bills now. It's been...
Wait, hold on. Is that like
12 hours.
Like a permanent thing?
No, just for the rest of this season. I need someone to cheer for. Okay. I respect the Lions fan base.
I think they're live.
I've always loved Dan Campbell. Remember when we were on the Fan Morning Show when he was still like, what's he doing with this team? I've been on the Dan Campbell... cheerleading squad here for the last 2 years quietly, but I'm ready to say let's go Lions Super Bowl plus 700. Or I mean, that's crazy, but we both watched the Kansas City Chiefs last night and we think that they will probably make their way to the Super Bowl, right? Like, we were feeling it a little bit confident last night, so
I like them to cover 3.5.
I placed the Chiefs first Lions Super Bowl bet plus 800. And if you want to get spicy, Chiefs to beat the Lions, which, I mean, I just want them to get there, plus 1,300. And one last thing is that graphic that we've been talking about, the Super Bowl graphic.
Right.
If you want to bet the graphic, plus 100 Ravens and the Niners in the Super Bowl. It's not
worth
it.
Look at you. You win a couple UFC bets. Now you're just spraying money around.
No, I'm a Lions guy now.
Tonight, Monday Night Hockey, second half. I like Vancouver, Chicago over six. If Vancouver plays in track meets, Vancouver likes to just run it up, and maybe they'll just open it up against a team like Chicago, who they should just be able to beat in any sort of track meet.
I've got two dogs I like tonight. Bunkers,
so you're
dogs of the day.
You're spraying
them. Vegas plus money versus the Devils and Jets plus money versus the Bruins. That one's on Monday Night Hockey at 7 p.m. in about 5 minutes. You can catch that next. We're going to be on for 30 more minutes on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Smith and Jones.